I'm Pete Hotman. I'm a writer, and my book is called Answers to Dog, which is a title that I don't even know what it means anymore. I decided on the title before I wrote the book, and now I can't remember why I decided on it, but I like it. And it's a story of a dog, much of it from the dog's point of view, and a human, a boy, who the dog befriends. And how they complete each other. I've always wanted to write a book about a dog because those are the books that got me going as a reader when I was a kid. It's really hard to write from a dog's point of view because a dog doesn't see the world the way a human being sees it. A dog experiences the world first through their nose, their ears, and their eyes. And their paws, and they experience a much smaller world. I mean, not smaller, but shorter. So they're not 5, 6 feet tall and looking out over things. They're down, with the grass tickling their chin, and they see a very, very different world than we do. And their priorities are very different than ours. And we don't always understand, why are you barking? Well, the dog can't explain it, but I can guarantee you the dog has a very good reason for barking. It makes complete sense. Dog logic is as meaningful as human logic. And I wanted to write a book that was a little more realistic than a lot of books from dogs' points of view. I didn't want the dog to have conversations with other dogs. I didn't want the dog to be able to talk. I didn't want the dog to have human-type priorities. I wanted him to have dog priorities. So I read a lot about, why do dogs do what they do? How do they experience the world? I discussed it with my dogs, and they led me around the neighborhood, just trying to get into that headspace of how do you tell a story about a dog doing things without making the dog human? So that was the challenge I set for myself in writing this book. Maybe a quarter of the book is from the dog's point of view, and the rest of it is from the boy's point of view. So this is a scene early in the book from the point of view of the border collie, who's recently escaped from an abusive situation. And he's taking a nap in a meadow near the woods, and he smells something. The dog's nose twitched, a new smell, not a deer, not a dog. He raised his head and pointed his eyes and ears upwind toward the smell. A shadow moved through the trees at the edge of the meadow. The dog watched as the shadow disappeared, then reappeared, then moved out of the trees and into the tall grasses. The dog could see the shape now. Long and low, with a bushy tail like a squirrel's, but bigger, sharp nose, large pointed ears. The fox was being cautious. It followed the edge of the meadow, ready to dart back into the trees. When it reached a point downwind, it froze and stared hard at the place where the dog was hidden. Neither of them moved. The dog could feel the fur on the back of his neck stirring. A yellow leaf dropped from the tree high above the fox and staggered through the branches, making a ticking sound as it fell. It landed on the fox's nose. The fox jumped, startled. The dog leaped to his feet and bellowed a greeting and a challenge. The fox melted into the trees. The dog ran over and snuffled around where it had been standing. The smell was exciting and strong and wild. He followed it through the woods and back to the creek. It ended at the water's edge.